Back here on Sports Talk on the Big 870, Mike Dettelia along with Charlie Long. And on our Oakland Heart Jewelers Talk and Text line, the senior writer at Go247 covering the LSU Fighting Tigers, Glenn West. Glenn, thanks so much for joining us this afternoon.
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me.
Glenn, I'm going to ask you this question. I've asked it to a couple others, and I've heard some good things about him. I got to see him play quite a bit in high school at Destrehan, Kalash Cobbins. And one thing with him, I didn't hear much early about him, but once he's going to get something, he gets it. And I thought he needed to fill out his frame a little bit more. But you talk about a dude can be a playmaker defensively for him, coming off the edge. He can run. I mean, he's got speed, yeah. Quickness. Initially, he's a good open field tackler. His closing speed to the quarterback is very good. What have you seen so far in camp from Cobbins, who I think is a guy who has an opportunity to maybe see some playing time early this year along with Ahmad Breaux?
Yeah, he's an exciting young player. I will be frank. I think he's mainly been with the second and third team so far in terms of rotating in with the 11-man defense. But from a one-on-one perspective, you know, they've gone head-to-head with a number of the second team on O-linemen pretty much every day in practice that we've had a chance to view. And Kalash Cobbins has certainly flashed. I mean, the speed is legit. The power is legit. The size is legit. Really, everything he provides from a physical physicality and athleticism standpoint is there. I think it's probably going to be more about him honing in on his technique and probably filling out a little bit more. You know, I would say he's probably one of the smaller pass rushers LSU still has right now. I think he probably needs to still add on some more weight, but he's done a really nice job so far. And like I said, he's won some of those one-on-one battles against the second-team offensive line. So he's an exciting young player. I don't know that we're going to see him really early in the season, but I wouldn't be a bit surprised if we see him on special teams. I wouldn't be a bit surprised if he carves out some kind of role later down the line of this season. But I think LSU got a really nice player there, and certainly they're going to coach him up, and we'll see if he can't make an impact here in year one.
A little bit about Ahmad Breaux. He's another guy that I saw in high school. He was a little undersized, and I know he's picked up some weight. How has he looked so far in camp?
Yeah, I would probably put the two freshman defensive tackles kind of in that same group, whether it's Ahmad Breaux or also Dominic McKinley. I do think there's probably some more things that they have to learn. I will say this. I mean, Brian Kelly talked with us last week, and he said that Ahmad Breaux came in, probably around 260, 255 or so, and he's already up to like 290 in terms of like his, yeah, in terms of how much weight he's been able to put on. He's put on about 35 or 40 pounds since arriving here in January. So that just tells you the work ethic this guy has. He's a really smart young player, and I think LSU is going to have a revolving door of defensive tackles that are going to play this year. But I'm not sure if he's going to be one that we see, for example, against USC. I don't know that we're going to see him all that often in week one. I do think there are some guys that are ahead of him in terms of the pecking order, at least from what we've seen. You know, it's been Jacoby Guillory, Gio Paez, Sean Washington, Jalen Lee, JVR Suggs. That's been kind of a consistent grouping of guys that LSU has rotated in and out there, a defensive tackle. But no doubt Ahmad Breaux, from a work ethic standpoint, is already there. It's just about him, like, you know, a number of these other freshmen. It's just about learning the system and learning the college way.
Glenn, when you look at the offensive line, and it's a heavy area to get hurt, you get more guys hurt at tackle, guard, center than any other position out on the field. Is Tyree Adams the next guy? Is he the sixth man, so to speak? You can't miss him when he's out there. Now, he's one big guy, Tyree Adams. And so are they working him at both right tackle and left tackle, or have they kicked him maybe inside at guard? I know Bo Bordelon, I spoke to Bo, and he told me he had kind of been cross-trained a little bit at both left guard and right guard. And he brought up the name to me about Tyree Adams, that he's like, hey, keep an eye on him. They're not going to be putting him on the bench too much longer. He can play.
Yeah, that's been a common theme, really. We've spoken with Will Campbell and Emory Jones this fall already, and they've both brought up Tyree Adams as a guy to really watch in terms of the future of the program, but also as a guy, you know, who could come in and help him this year. I mean, he has cross-trained. He's been kind of the backup left tackle to Will Campbell, but this most recent practice that media got to see, DJ Chester, the center, was fighting a little bit of a bug. So they slid Garrett Dellinger over to center, and they actually put Tyree Adams at left guard for a number of these first-team reps. So they're cross-training him a little bit at guard. He's certainly been at left tackle behind Campbell. And, you know, I would probably say him and Bordelon are the two guys that you'll see first off the bench if, you know, there was to be some shifting there on the O-line for whatever reason. So those are the two that I would keep my eye on in terms of kind of the first guys in that offensive line that would rotate in. But there's no doubt they are very, very high on Tyree Adams. He's 6'7", a legit 315 pounds. I mean, he's a big guy, and he's somebody that I think could absolutely help LSU this season, even on an offensive line that's as veteran as this one is for LSU.
Glenn, I want to hop back to the defensive side of the ball, because that's been all the talk from camp that we've been hearing, is how much improved they look in first year Blake Baker as the DC. And I just want to talk about a couple of young guys that Mike keeps bringing up. Like, don't forget, you know, these two freshmen that could be vying for playing time early on, and that's PJ Woodland at cornerback and then Deshaun Spears at safety. I mean, what have you kind of seen from them at camp? I know they're currently running with the second teams as of now, but I think these are two guys that could be on the field sooner rather than later.
Yeah, I mean, I think you're absolutely right, Charlie. I think those are two guys that you're going to see on the field against USC, even. I mean, the one thing I will say about both of those guys is that they are playing above their classification right now. They are both guys who have come into the program and really hit it off with the coaching staff early in terms of how they're, you know, approaching their day-to-day work and also how they're executing out on the practice field. I mean, Woodland, going back to the spring, was a guy that was getting first team reps at cornerback, and, you know, yeah, he's mainly been with the second team right now, but another thing that I think you got to take Brian Kelly's word for is that anybody that they're trotting out there in the first or second team right now are guys that they think are preparing to play against USC. And, you know, PJ Woodland and Deshaun Spears are both guys that have been either with the first or second team at some points in this fall. So I would expect you see both of those guys out there. I think Deshaun Spears could line up next to Jordan Gilbert in the deep part of the field. You know, he's long, he's athletic, he's made some plays already this fall, and just as a guy that when you look at him and you watch him move, you see it. You see the talents there, and you see the potential he could have, not only in the future but in the immediate term of helping this football team out as well. So I think those are two guys you're going to see, you know, an abundance of throughout the course of the season, but don't be surprised if you see 11 and 10 out there on defense making some plays and getting some snaps against USC here on September 1st.
Gonna be hard to keep them off the bench. I'm just telling you, them guys can play. It's going to be hard to keep them on the bench. Them guys want to play, and they got some talent across the board. And that's not only good for now, but also for future LSU teams. Brian Kelly's always been running back by committee, and in talking to him, he's like, Mike, that's not going to change a lot. I really like that that part of element of having a couple, three, and he would bring up the term three guys ready to play halfback if needed. We know Josh and Williams and Caleb Jackson would be 1-2. Thoughts a little bit about how that breaks down between the two guys, you know, Josh being, he almost was like, got Social Security money here at LSU, as many years as he's got there. And then Caleb's a freak of nature. I mean, you talk about a guy, you know, kind of carved out of stone, and he's got skills. But who would be the three today if they had to play against USC? Because Brian's Kelly's brought that up numerous times about, I like that, you know, kind of three-man rotation. Now, he said once you get past there, it sort of gets iffy because now, you know, everybody's got a little different skill set. But a little bit about certainly how it's broke down between Josh and Caleb. But who would be the number three guy?
Yeah, I mean, just to follow up on your Josh Williams point, I think he's probably earning his doctorate right now with how long he's been at LSU. He's working on that PhD. So I think just between Josh Williams and Caleb Jackson, I think both of those guys are going to see the field a lot, especially here in week one. I do think that in third down situations, I think Josh Williams is probably the guy you see on third downs, or at least on most third downs. LSU really trusts him. I mean, he's a guy that, you know, just from a blocking perspective, I don't know that I've seen many better at the running back position. And, you know, in those third down plays, you're probably looking at pass, but you're also looking at some, you know, potential, flip outs to the running back. And I think Josh Williams is a guy that can help you in the passing game. They've really worked hard this fall on getting him the ball on the perimeter and having him turn upfield via the pass. So I really like that element to LSU's offense. I think Caleb Jackson you're going to see in the red zone and goal line. I think they really like what he'd be able to do for him from a running back perspective down there. But the third guy, I think, is probably going to be John Emery. And I'm telling you right now, I am a little bit surprised at how much John Emery has been able to do at this point and how good he looks as well. I mean, he is – he was not on the roster at this time a month ago, and he's really, I think, shown that he can be a complimentary piece in this running back room. He's still wearing a big brace on that knee, but he's moving well. He's cutting. He's broken off a couple of really nice runs. So he's a veteran that knows the system, right? So I think he's going to be, you know, kind of that guy that you look at in that third spot. I'm not quite sure that Caden Durham is ready to handle a huge workload right now as a true freshman. But I think those first three, Josh Williams, Caleb Jackson, and then John Emery, kind of the veteran there to help, you know, back those two up and spell them every once in a while. I think that's a really strong, you know, trio there for LSU to walk into Las Vegas with.
I agree with you on John. I met up with him, and he told me, I'm going to be ready game one. Like, what?
That's such a great story.
I mean, just from an outsider's perspective, that's
just such a really cool story that a guy that, you know, came in as such a heralded five-star guy, maybe didn't have the career that he wanted to initially, and, you know, kind of battled injuries and some other, you know, kind of just kind of difficulties throughout his college career, comes back and is now ready to, I would assume, handle a nice workload for this team. I really do think they're going to lean into him this season. So, yeah, it's a great story.
I told him, make sure you hold on to the football, because that's going to have you back on the bench, John. And he just laughed, but he knew exactly where I was going with it, Charlie.
Yeah, real quick, Glenn, I wanted to ask about the tight end room that just seems to be getting so much buzz. And Mike talked about, you know, the 12-man sets where you have two tight ends in and everything like that. And Mason Taylor's your tight end one. There's no question about that. I think he's primed for a gigantic year this upcoming season. But also kind of the rise of Kamorian Pimpton, who kind of flashed a little bit last year at camp, if I'm remembering correctly, in his freshman season. But he's also kind of seemingly taken that next step in his sophomore year. And then Tre'Dez Green, who's been garnering so much attention as this freshman, like, phenom, 6'7", that, Mike, you've said is kind of like a bigger receiver than he is really a tight end.
Yeah, that's
right. But, I mean, he can still obviously help in short down situations and red zone, stuff like that.
In the end zone.
Yeah, man, absolutely. Just on. Throw it up. Let him go up and get it.
Glenn knows this. He was a former really good basketball player.
Exactly.
Throw it up there. Go get it.
That tight end room, Glenn, it just seems like it's really kind of developed, and it looks like it's going to be great this upcoming season.
Yeah, I mean, if you just trot out Mason Taylor, Kamorian Pimpton, and Tre'Dez Green, have those three walk off the bus first. Like, 6'5", 6'6", 6'7", coming right at you from an offensive perspective. I mean, Mason Taylor, of course, is going to have a great season. I think I wouldn't be surprised if he leads the team in receptions this year, but. Man, Kamorian Pimpton's really taking a nice big step here for LSU in year two. He's going to be that second tight end I think you see in two tight end sets, but don't sleep on the true freshman either. I mean, Tre'Dez Green, every time he is up there and is making a play, he's high pointing the ball. It's like, oh my gosh, how can anybody defend this? And you just watch him and he screams just goal line touchdown magnet. I mean, he's somebody that I think LSU can definitely throw out there, and he's going to go up and make some catches for him this year. So I'm as bullish on the tight end room this year as I have been in recent years. And I think that trio there is going to have a lot of success. And they've got a quarterback in Garrett Nussmeier that I think is really going to look for him. I think he's really going to spread the ball around. He's going to find the mismatches, and they don't get much more mismatchy than Tre'Davious Green and Kamori Pinson coming right at you.
No, I don't know of any 6'5" or 6'6" defensive backs, and so you got some issues there. Glenn, is there a guy in camp that you see today you say, man, I didn't think he'd be this good? I didn't think he'd be this good in fall camp.
Yeah, the one that immediately pops is Savion Jones. He's probably been my MVP in terms of camp and in terms of guys that have just really stood out to me that, you know, I didn't really expect to take that huge of a next step, because we've seen Savion for 3 years now, and at some point in the college career, you feel like, you know, a guy is who they are. But, man, Savion's taken a really massive step this year. His get-off speed has improved. He's given Emory Jones everything he can handle at right tackle off the edge on those one-on-one drills, and he's making some plays and getting some pressures in 11-on-11 drills as well. I'm really high on what Savion can do this year. He looks to be moving in that body a lot better this second go-around, and I really think some big things are in store for him this year. He would probably be my pick as the biggest surprise of camp so far.
Last question to you, Glenn, would be at the quarterback backup position, Gunnell Garrett, but man, you one play away that you might be right. The guy that you throw in there. Who have you seen in camp that, because Ricky Collins to me looks like the talent. Now, again, he doesn't have a lot of experience, but man, he looks like he's got big time talent. Or do you go with the guy who's got some experience?
Yeah, I think you probably go the experience route here. You know, if you'd asked me this question at the end of spring, I probably would have said Ricky Collins, but it's been a little bit of a struggle for both of those guys, and I don't know that it's necessarily their fault. I think the second team O-line has certainly not helped them out a whole ton in terms of their fall camp execution, but I do think that A.J. Swan is kind of that game manager type of guy. And if you're asking a quarterback to go in an emergency situation, I do think it's probably going to be a guy that that has some experience and can handle maybe those emotions a little bit better than, say, a Ricky Collins. But I do know that LSU is very high on Ricky. I do think that he's made some nice strides from his first year in Baton Rouge. But I do think right now it would probably be A.J. Swan, unless you're really looking to kind of, go for broke and really be kind of that boom or bust kind of player with Ricky Collins. I think that's just kind of where LSU's at right now. I think that the Swan would probably be my pick right now, but I do know that LSU's very much having an open mind with that competition here as game one really approaches.
Glenn, thanks so much for joining us. Always appreciate it, buddy. Thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you guys. Appreciate it.
All right. Thanks, Glenn. Glenn West, senior writer at Go247.
What's that sound? That's the sound of Downy Unstoppable scent beads going into your washing machine and giving your clothes freshness that lasts all day long. There it is again. It's like music to your ears, or more like music to your nose. That freshness is irresistible. Let's get a Downy Unstoppable bottle shake. And now a sniff solo. Nice. With Downy Unstoppable, you just toss, wash, wow, for all-day freshness.